Chris Graham.
ACC football kickoff is over, and I'm back. Chris Graham. Augusta Free Press, Street Knowledge with Chris Graham. And what a great time we had down in Charlotte. I had Seth Meganson intern with me, and we had a chance to talk to coaches and players from all 14 ACC football schools. Notre Dame not there. Notre Dame's too good to join us in football, whatever the case may be there. A lot of focus for us, obviously. We focus on UVA football among the ACC teams. And, you know, it's interesting. We, you know, saddled with covering UVA football, if you want to say. It's the school that I'm an alum, covered the school for 20-plus years, the programs for 20-plus years. And but once again, the writers picking Virginia 7th, dead last in the Coastal Division at the end of this. And, you know, that said, also, I mean, the All-ACC teams announced two first-team players, Micah Kaiser and Quinn Blanding. And we got a chance to talk to Quinn Blanding, the senior safety. Micah Kaiser was at the kickoff representing the UVA defense last season, and this year Quinn Blanding doing so. And also Kurt Binkert was there. And Kurt, one of the few quarterbacks who's returning in the ACC this year, only one of two in the Coastal Division. He and Daniel Jones at Duke, the only two returning starting quarterbacks in the ACC Coastal. And, of course, talking with Bronco Mendenhall. Among the interesting tidbits that came out of our discussions with Coach Mendenhall and his players, we talked with Coach Mendenhall, and I wrote a story, and a lot of folks have clicked on the story about the quarterback situation at Virginia. Now, it's set, I mentioned, Kurt Binkert is one of the two starting quarterbacks back in the Coastal Division. But behind Kurt, it's kind of weak, and nothing against the guys in the situation, but a couple of freshmen are backing him up. And Bronco Mendenhall had hoped to have a little bit different of a succession plan in place. He had recruited a graduate transfer, Marvin Zanders, from Missouri. And Zanders got his degree as a redshirt sophomore at Missouri. And Missouri, not a bad school, right? I mean, anybody knows anything about, vaguely about the academic reputation of schools. Missouri is a good school. Got a really good journalism program. I know that much, being a person who's been in journalism for all these years. And so Zanders has a degree in sports management from Missouri. And he wanted to transfer to Virginia as a graduate, enroll in the Curry School of Education, could not get admitted. We didn't know that part until the kickoff last week. Bronco Mendenhall had announced back, I believe, in early June that Zanders would not be enrolling at Virginia, and the supposition at that time, I know the media speculation was, and it wasn't even, it didn't seem like really hardcore speculation, it just seemed like the case, hey, maybe this kid just had a change of heart, wanted to go somewhere else. Turns out that that's not the case. He really wanted to go to Virginia, and he's now at Vanderbilt, and Vanderbilt has enrolled him, so this brought up to me, I mean, I'm hearing this, you know, a few feet from me, Bronco Mendenhall's talking to me and a group of reporters last week at the ACC kickoff, and I'm hearing him talk about, gosh, this kid with a degree. We're not talking about a kid transferring with a 2-0 from somewhere or whatever the case may be. We're talking about a kid who's got a degree already from one institution. He's been accepted by Vanderbilt, but he can't get into UVA's graduate school. And you know, Bronco Mendenhall talked about, hey, you know, I learned, among other things, that, you know, admissions doesn't listen to just what I've got to say about a young man. They've got their own standards, and that's the case. But I thought back to, and I had to look it up to find out the exact year afterwards, but I thought back to, there was a class that Al Groh, a couple coaches back now, right? Al Groh had a class back in the towards the end of his tenure. Turned out it was 2006, where Groh had his standard 24-player recruiting haul, and it was one of his better classes, top 20 class nationally. Eight of those kids ended up not being able to enroll in the school that fall. So, you know, from early February until the fall, eight of the 24 members of that pretty heralded class not able to qualify academically to be admitted to University of Virginia. And I remember thinking at the time, you know, Al Groh, come on, man, he's proven a point here, and I don't know what point he's proven. But Al Groh is a UVA graduate. He had coached college football at Wake Forest. He then went to the NFL for a while, came back to Virginia. 2006 would have been his sixth recruiting class, I believe, if my math's right on that. Things didn't change that much over the 30-plus years, dating back to his own playing career at Virginia, his own time as a student at Virginia, to 2006, that all of a sudden, one year, he can't, you know, he and his staff missed so badly on the academics that eight kids couldn't get in. I thought he was kind of proving a point, which was, I guess, that, you know, I thought at the time, hey, he's just trying to say, hey, you're not letting me win here. And I went after these kids, didn't care whether they could qualify. I was going to, you know, kind of shove them down your throat. Well, Bronco Mendenhall doesn't have that same cachet with me. You know, I look at Bronco as very much a stand-up guy. You know, I've been saying this since he got hired. He seems to me, on an interpersonal level, to fit in with the likes of Tony Bennett and Brian O'Connor, two guys I deal with, head coaches for men's basketball and for baseball. I don't deal a lot directly with other head coaches at the university, but those two guys being, you know, head coaches for flagship programs really, you know, they set the tone for how the rest relate with the media, particularly. They're sort of, you know, faces of the university in a way. They're high profile jobs, and they're so well spoken, such humble men who are very good at what they do. And Mendenhall comes from BYU, where he won 9 games a year for 11 years, a surprise that he was even interested in the Virginia job, that he took it then, as well, was a surprise. At the stage in the career he was at as well, a guy who's all BYU. Gosh, the guy, you know, his father played at BYU, his older brother played at BYU, he wanted to play at BYU, ends up being an assistant coach there, a coach there. Guy's a Mormon, he brings all these guys across the country with him and their families, as he mentioned at the ACC kickoff, 14 families who have a combined 53 children. They all trek back across the country to take this job. Didn't take it lightly. I don't think he takes anything lightly. He seems like such organized man. Whether he was a football coach or the CEO of a small to mid-sized, very successful company, he comes across that way, you know, to me. And then he recruits a young man like Marvin Zanders, who I have to admit I've never met Marvin Zanders, and I guess at this point won't meet Zanders because he transfers now to Vanderbilt and we don't cover the SEC. All I can go by with Zanders is degree from Missouri, got into Vanderbilt. Those are two schools I have respect for, and he couldn't get into Virginia. So maybe what Al Groh was saying 10-plus years ago was valid. Hey, you know, how can I win games if admissions won't work with me? Now, a lot of you, again, you're clicking on this podcast, you're listening, you want my insight, you clicked on the story we wrote today. I know it's been all over the message boards, and it should be. I mean, this is, to me, a big issue. I'm a UVA alum, and I don't make any bones about the fact that I want to win, but I want to win the right way, and I don't want to be one of those St. Louis Cardinals baseball fans talking about winning the right way. But, you know, I want, as an alum, I want that degree that I've got hanging on my wall above my desk at work, in the home office at work. I want it to still mean something. I don't want it to be a Carolina degree. You know, I can only imagine what, you know, that generation of Carolina grads who actually, you know, those who didn't play sports and had to earn their degrees, and then they look at, you know, fellow students who are student athletes who took sham classes and got their degrees. I mean, to me, that devalues the work that I would have done as a Carolina student working towards my degree, that people got to take fake classes and get their degree too. I don't want that at Virginia, you know. I'll take it as a matter of pride when I interview players from Virginia, coaches from Virginia, and they're well spoken and represent, you know, the school well, my alma mater well. You know, I'll point out that, you know, last week I did interviews with players and especially players from other schools, and I would get texts from UVA fans, fellow UVA alums, saying, we need a guy like that playing for us. And I would say, having sat down and talked with him, I'm not sure he'd get admitted. You know, I mean, I think that there is definitely a sentiment amongst us alums to say we want to protect our students. And also, we're great football players who went on the NFL. Matt Blunden was being cool and also playing a top ACC program. There were flirtations with being a national program, you know, the number one ranking for 3 weeks in 1990, you know, national, the top 10 national rankings at different times. And, you know, the 1990s, I recall, that 1995 team, 1998 team, both were teams that flirted with more relevance than they even end up with. And so, yeah, it can be done, but it's been a long time. Let's admit it. It's been a long time. I trace it back. There was a 2004 game, fourth year of the Groh era. Cavs were 7-1, top 10, had Miami in Scott Stadium. Sellout crowd. I remember the night it was electric, and Virginia loses that game, and from that point on, it's been all downhill. We've had two bowls. Actually, three bowls since that game. The 2005 team played in the bowl. I guess 2018 played in the bowl, and the 2011 team played in the bowl. So three since that game, top 10 team with some really good players on that team. Gosh, Matt Shaw, Miller, Ahmad Brooks, guys who played in that game. I'm sure, and they're leaving a lot of guys out. Those were top flight guys who played in that game. It's been a long time. It's been a long time. I mean, I added up 37 wins in the last 9 years. Somebody added up 29 wins in the last 7 years. I mean, whatever number you want to use, it's not good. It's about four wins a year. For a long period of time. So, and that's not, I mean, so, you know, so I write this story and say, you know, we want to win. We want to win the right way. And Marvin Zanders was not going to change himself. He was not going to change the culture at Virginia, right? I mean, you know, Zanders, he's transferring out of Missouri for a reason. He has 2 years of eligibility left. He could have stayed there. Writing's on the wall. He's not going to get the starting job there. Nobody transfers out of a starting job and goes somewhere else and starts over. Dual threat quarterback that wasn't panning out there. He had limited action. I think he threw 12 passes last year as a sophomore. So he's not going to win the Heisman or anything else. But Bronco Mendenhall talked last week about how when Zanders committed to Virginia, and it seemed a foregone conclusion that he was going to be admitted. I mean, again, he's working towards his degree at Missouri. You can't assume that a kid gets his degree is not going to somehow qualify for graduate school at Virginia. Mendenhall talked about how he put him in a succession planning. Basically, Zanders, with 2 years of eligibility left, would have been the backup this year. And again, I mentioned, you know, the options right now are a couple of freshmen. A redshirt freshman, Devontae Cross, who's a wide receiver, getting snaps at wide receiver in the spring, as one of your backups now. So he put Zanders in as a junior in eligibility to hold, you know, the clipboard, give the signals to Kurt Benkert this year. If anything happens to Benkert, who got, you know, we all know now, he, in addition to the fact he was coming off his knee surgery after his year at ECU was cut short in 2015. He was named the starter right before the start of the 2015 season, blows his knee out, misses the whole season. So in addition to recovering from his knee injury, he suffered a pretty bad hit in the loss to UConn in week three last year. That injured his left shoulder to a degree that it affected the play calling. You know, it affected Virginia wanted to run more of a read option type offense, and his knee issue, his shoulder issue, kept him more back in a pocket type situation than the coaching staff wanted to have with their signal caller. So he could be injury prone, right? You got Zanders backing up. Now you got a couple freshmen backing up. And Zanders ostensibly would have taken the number two role this year, and then next year would have been the starter, and then allow the young guys a couple of years to develop, you know, to learn the system, to get reps, to work their way in. Now, you know, Benkert's a quarterback this year, and somebody's going to have to emerge next year. That or another transfer maybe could play a role. So it messes up the succession process for Coach Mendenhall. Year three will be a start over year in terms of the quarterback. That's not the best way to go when you're trying to rebuild a program that's got a long period of dormancy. What's interesting is I'm seeing the comments on the message boards. I'm getting emails from folks, and I see all sides of this discussion. And you know, I got one email from a person who communicates with me a lot. Not a lot, but you know, we communicate by email and discuss things without, you know, getting out there too much. And his point, a UVA alum who made the point, hey, you know, Curry school says kid doesn't have the qualifications. I'm glad that the kid who got admitted ahead of him got admitted ahead of him. You know, good for Curry. We're playing it the right way. And you know, I can't speak to that. I'm not in admissions. I don't know Xander's situation. I know he's got a degree. Obviously, if you're applying for grad school, there's lots of people applying for grad school. We've a lot of us listening, me talking. We've applied for grad school. Lots of factors go into whether or not you get into grad school. I mean, you know, that all being what it is, you know, I didn't raise the story of Marvin Zanders just to make the point that poor old Marvin Zanders is getting persecuted here, you know, and that Bronco Mendenhall's having a hard time. He's had one hard lesson about admissions. I'm making the bigger point, I guess. You know, this is a program that has really struggled since that 2004 loss to Miami. That's a long time ago for me to hold on to that memory, but I think it's valid. If you're not going to take it any more seriously than this, I mean, if you're going to, you know, keep a kid out with a degree from a good school and he gets into another good school and, you know, if that's the way you're going to play the admissions thing. I mean, Virginia, honestly, the bigger question to me is, why are we still pretending? You know, why are we still pretending? That to me is what we're doing at this stage. You know, we're paying a coach $3 million a year. And I say we, I'm an alum, I'll say we. We're paying a coach $3 million plus a year, Bronco Mendenhall, to turn his program around. And then we're not letting him do it. I mean, it's not like I'm saying, hey, admit kids with 900 on their SATs who have 2.0 grade point averages in high school and make the University of Virginia into a football factory. I don't want that. A lot of you guys don't want that. Like guys and gals don't want that. We want to win the right way. But it's not like I'm asking for a huge bend of any rules here. Again, the kid's got a degree from Missouri. If he can't get in, who else are we keeping out? I mean, you know. So we're paying a coach $3 million a year. He's got a staff that's making money. You know, and Mike London prior made a lot of money at Virginia. Al Groh before that made a lot of money at Virginia. And we're fooling ourselves. We're never going to compete. We're never going to compete for an ACC championship. We're never going to compete for a national championship. And I look at it like, man, you know, I'm a 45-year-old guy who picked up running a few years ago, and now I run races, I run marathons, I run 5 and 10 Ks and half marathons. I go out there every time. Now, it's not at all the same, at all, on the same level, to say the least, as competing for a Division I national championship in college sports, but I'm out there trying to, when I go out and sign up for a race, and I put my money down, and I train for that race, I'm trying to win something. I'm trying, you know. I'm not just out there running around in circles. I can go run any day I want to. I run 50 miles a week. So when I sign up for a race, I'm not just going out for a jog. I'm trying to do something. I'm trying to, of course, improve my own time. But I want to win my age division, right? I want to win something. I'm out there working hard to win something. I'm out there working hard to get better. And I don't know that we're playing football to win something. You know, I don't know that we're and football is a sport too. Unlike running, I go out and run. I mean, the worst thing's gonna happen. You know, I've been dealing with some nagging injuries, got an Achilles issue that I think is 90% now. Finally, for the first time in a while, I can run and not be sore afterwards. And you know, you always have knee and ankle soreness and that kind of thing when you run. But nobody's out there trying to hit me. I'm not getting, you know, I'm not exposed to concussions. Nobody's trying to, you know, roll block my knee or anything like that. I'm running. You ask kids to go out there and play football, man. You know everything we know about hand injuries now and what they do to kids and adults long term. You know that on top of then the exposure for your knees and your ankles and you know the heavy weight lifting they've got to do, year round training they've got to do on top of an academic load because they are college athletes, so they got to go to class, and at UVA they've got to progress towards a degree in a really hard school. Again, those of us who especially you know went through UVA and got our degrees, we know that it's hard enough just going through UVA and getting your degree, much less playing a sport on top of it and being a full-time athlete on top of that. So you're out there asking all this of these guys, and then you're not putting them in position to win championships. You know, and doing so in a way, I've had this thought, and this isn't just certainly not relative just to the Marvin Zanders case, but, you know, I wonder why we don't give at least a little bit of leeway. Maybe we do. I'm not, again, an admissions person. Maybe one day on a podcast I need to have an admissions person talk to me about how they deal with applications. And maybe they do have some factors. But, I grades and SAT scores or ACT scores, wherever you take, recommendations, achievement test scores, all the stuff they factor in, all those numbers and all that kind of stuff they factor in. You know, to me, there's measurable academic intelligence. There's measurable skill and that kind of thing in the academic realm. What factor does the ability for an athlete to project athletic talent? Why doesn't that have more of a factor? I mean, I think, like, if I got an application from a kid who's a talented singer. And their SAT in class and their SAT and GPA maybe were a little lower, but they were a very talented singer. I'd have to wonder, you know, okay, maybe I'm going to judge a little bit differently here because this person has taken a natural talent and developed it a little more. Maybe they're smarter in that musical way. Let's give them some credit for that. Nobody that gets to a certain level, whether it be athletics or vocals or theatrical talent, you're not just born with that innate talent and you just can become a professional athlete at it without having to hone it in some way, right? You have to put some self-discipline to it. You've got to develop that. You've got to develop your talents, turn them into skills, I mean, and then be able to actualize those in performances, and that takes a certain level of something from that person. I think is there anything to that in the admissions process? I mean, and maybe there is. Maybe that's already factored in. But I have to wonder. I mean, gosh, you know, I'm not saying save a space for grad transfers just because Bronco Mendenhall needs more bodies out there, but. I don't know. We're not talking about some guy who's got a degree from a community college. We're talking about a guy who's got a degree from Missouri in this case. And if it's going to be tough to get guys like that in, what are we trying for? What are we trying for? You have 85 scholarships in football. You got, roughly you can get 25 kids a year, right? There's always attrition, guys leaving or transferring out or getting injured and having to retire early, whatever. So. That's a lot of bodies. That's a lot of people you've got to go through to get your two deep, which, a two deep roster, 11 players on each side of the ball, plus your specialist. It's about 50 guys. 85 to 50. It's tough. I mean, that's still 50 is still a lot. Basketball, men's basketball, 13 scholarships. Most teams play with an 8 or 9 man rotation. 5 guys can be on the floor at one time. I mean, you start adding, the numbers are different in baseball. 31 players on the roster, 9 can play at one time, actually 8 everyday guys, DH, starting pitchers, you got 3 or 4 starting pitchers, a couple relievers who are key. So, you can play baseball with 16, 17 guys out of your 31. I mean, so then, again, the numbers, and of those guys, 4 or 5 are key, So, yeah, it's different. In football, I mean, football's a sport with all those numbers. So, I mean, are we ever going to be competitive in football? I don't know. And this Marvin Zanders situation kind of makes me wonder. Makes me wonder is all I can say. It's all I can say. Well, we're going to do some more podcasting this week. What I was doing, just so you know, we did some podcasting last week from the ACC kickoff. This week, I wanted to write all my stories first, and I had so much to go through. With the interviews, not just the UVA focus, but then the ACC focus. Now I've got a couple more UVA podcasts I'm going to do. Also, then got some ACC related stuff, just more general conference coverage. But boy, we got so much to get into. It's a lot of fun to do it. and keep us busy until media days for the individual schools. Also, for me, VMI coming up. I've done the last couple of seasons VMI play-by-play home games, and that schedule will come up for me again this year, so I'll be heading down to Lexington to get more into the UVA program. And there, for you people listening, because this is a UVA-themed sports podcast today, there's UVA ties there. Scott Wackenheim was a former assistant on Mike Lennon's staff. He's the head coach there at VMI going into his third season. Got things moving in the right direction down in Lexington for VMI. And also announcing a hire this week, Ross Matheny, a former UVA backup quarterback who transferred out, played his last couple of years at South Alabama, was a pretty good player at South Alabama, then was an assistant coach there, assistant coach, grad assistant coach at Kansas State. Now he's back in Virginia. He's going to be the safeties coach at VMI. So UVA, a couple UVA ties there to VMI and what I do when I'm not in Charlottesville on Saturdays in the fall. And so, yeah, we'll be heading down to VMI. You know, last year UVA didn't do a formal media day. Bronco Mendenhall apparently shies away from doing that kind of thing, but enough writers complained about the lack of a media day that they gave us access to players, I think, at the first practice. So that should be coming up maybe either end of next week or sometime that following week, because UVA is getting ready to start practice up pretty soon. So Scott German and I will be heading over for that when that happens, and more opportunity to talk UVA football at that stage. But for this one right here, we're wrapping up. Thank you for listening, and feel free to comment. Send me email at AugustaFreePress2@gmail.com. You can always comment, of course, right here on the website or on Facebook or on Twitter. Man, there's so many ways you can get in touch with people today. I love it, and I'd love to hear from you. Thanks, everybody. Have a great night.